This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to Hold the Pod!
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, Caps fans. What is going on? Welcome to What the Puck. It's a Washington Capitals podcast. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, and Overcast. Joining me, as always, we got my buddy Coach Dan. What's going on, man?
I'm just glad you didn't blow up my eardrums this week.
You're breaking stuff, I see on the webcam.
You remember last week you blew up my eardrums when you started the show, so I appreciate the fact that you were considerate of my precious ears this week.
I try. So we got a big show. We got a big show this week, everybody. We have a very special guest, star of the AMC show Comic Book Man. It returns this Sunday after The Walking and Talking Dead at midnight on Valentine's Day. Ming Chen will be joining us to talk a little Caps Devils. They had a game this past weekend. They got a game coming up at the end of the month. So he talks to us a little bit about some puck and about Comic Book Man and all other kinds of cool stuff. So check that out. But right now, we're going to get into some Caps talk. Let's talk about these games that happened since we talked last. Capitals still looking very good. Capitals doing what they can. The Predators game that happened this past Tuesday, I got to say, it was a win. You know, it looked a little scary because they were winning by a fairly good margin. And then the Predators were able to come back and make it a one-goal game towards the end. But the Caps looked a little sluggish throughout the first 2.5 periods. It really was when it got close did the Capitals kind of wake up. What's going on there? Are they still getting over this All-Star break?
I wouldn't attribute to that anymore. I think they just had some lapses in
judgment.
Awareness? That's McPhee when he was the GM, obviously. No, I think they just had some lapses in awareness and paying attention to doing the little things the way they should be done, and they made a couple of mistakes, and the Predators made them pay. I think the Forsberg second goal, the Holpe probably wants that back. I feel like he probably could have gotten that with the glove, but either way, they're able to come out with I mean, they've had all these games where they don't play well at times, but they're still able to come out with wins, and I think that's what a good team is able to do, is they're able to make up for their mistakes, and they don't just get down on themselves or collapse because something's not going well. It's that they're able to right the ship. They're able to go into the locker room and be like, all right, guys, this is not happening anymore. We're fixing this. We're turning this around. We're going to come back. We're going to find a way to stop what we're doing wrong. And that's what we saw in the fact that the past week they went 4-0, just whooping everybody. They beat up everybody, almost everybody in New York. They didn't play the Rangers, but they were close. Or the New York area, since the Devils play in New Jersey. The Nashville game, I mean, that was an interesting one. And they have apparently a bad record in Nashville, so there's that, and they were able to still come out with a win. So it was nice to see. But there was a little bit of that game where I was like, what are you doing? The first period was not great, even though they came out with a lead. They had, one shot in the first, 12 minutes?
Yeah, something like that.
Or something like that. So it was that was not good. That was definitely a problem. But they were able to right the ship and get things going well. And, you know, they played well. Well, they've been playing well. They win. So there's that.
I mean, as long as they can play well, I guess. But let's talk a little bit about Marcus Johansson. He missed a couple games. He came back this past Tuesday. How much of a loss was Marcus Johansson to this team? Because, I mean, you and I have talked about it. We have not been shy about the fact that we think Marcus Johansson he could be trade bait. He could get paid more by a team that doesn't have as many stars on it. But he came off the team. We had Mike Richards centering the third. He looked a little lost. Marcus Johansson, seems as if he came back, he was able to stabilize the third line, so people on the third line could be scoring, not just the first two, which is, we've talked about, key to a good long cup run, was having, you know, 3 to 4 lines that are constantly scoring. What was it like to have him back on this team? Because obviously, we all saw it helped the third line, made them a scoring line again.
Oh, definitely. I think having him in the lineup solidifies your top three lines. You have your first line of Ovechkin, Backstrom, and Oshie. You have your second line in Burakovsky, Kuznetsov, and Williams. And now you have a very solid third line that's not necessarily a checking line. This is a scoring line. This is a goal-scoring line with Chimera, Johansson, and Wilson. They're playing very well together. I think I thought Richards was a fine substitute. I think he could play there for, you know, a significant period of time if that came to be. But I think Johansson being there is phenomenal for the team. I think he's been playing well lately. He's been playing very well this season. I think a lot of the talk, especially by the two of us, in that our belief that he was going to be traded is, if you look at his contract, it just made sense to move him out. He's on one-year deals. You know, you already have a lot of money invested in Ovechkin and Backstrom, and you're not going to get rid of those guys. You have these younger players in Burakovsky and Kuznetsov for cheaper, at least at the moment. They're not going to be in their next contract, especially Kuznetsov. So it looked like it made the most sense to move him out and be able to replace him with another guy. But he's found a way to stay on the roster. He's not going anywhere anytime soon, it looks like. It'll be interesting to see what they do with his next contract, to whether it's another one-year deal if they try to go longer than that. But he seems happy on the team. The team seems happy with him, so I see no reason to move him out right at this time, especially with the way they're playing. I think him, like I said, being on the third line, being back, it just makes everything better because they have to bump a guy like Mike Richards, who is good, even though he's got some problems. He's a good player. He bumps back to the third line. Now, when Beagle comes back, you've potentially got a third line of Beagle, Richards, and like. That's a pretty good checking line. And then you look at it potentially making another move where, if, say, you bring in a guy at the deadline. I know Russian Machine Never Breaks was talking about bringing in someone from Toronto like P.A. Parenteau to potentially put on the third line, and you bump Wilson back to the fourth line. Now you've got a fourth line of potentially Beagle, Richards, and Wilson. So anyway, you're making your team better by having good players that are playing on a line that probably they could be playing up one, like Johansson, like Richards, that are not doing so just because you have really good players.
Well, you see, when Beagle comes back, I kind of see Richards going to the press box because I don't know. Do you see Lotta moving out? Is he going to make room for Richards? They actually did bring up Jay Beagle's name throughout the game last night, saying he is pretty close to returning. It was 6 weeks. He's probably ready to go in 2 weeks because I think this is the fourth week of his 6 week.
I lost track.
Yeah, rehab or whatever. So you were saying Richards, Beagle, like on the third line. That was your combo, right?
I don't know if necessarily the order and where the Trotz is going to put them out. My guess is when Beagle comes back, he might end up on the wing to begin with. But you have three guys that can play center as your checking line. So if one guy gets bumped out in a tight situation, okay, the next guy coming in is also a center and can try and win the faceoff. It's not a bad thing. They could potentially have one of the best fourth lines in hockey.
So you're saying fourth line, not third line.
Fourth line. Third line is going to be Chimera, Johansson, Wilson.
Yeah, because all right, you had me confused. I thought you said third line because I wouldn't mess with that third line at all with those three guys. I mean, did you see?
I would not unless you bring in someone that's an improvement. Like, if you're looking at it as a real legit scoring line. If you're looking for like, this is what Russian Machine was saying, is like, if you're looking for someone that you want to bring a guy in, odds are you're not going to bring in someone for the top two lines because you have a lot of offense there. You're going to bring in someone to solidify the back end of your lineup and your forwards. So maybe you go out and you find a guy like P.A. Parenteau or someone like that you can put on that third line. You bump Wilson back. In that trade, do you move out a Beagle or Rich? Probably not Richard since he's got him, but do you move out a Beagle or...
No.
I don't expect that to be the case. Or Brooks Like or something like that. And then you have... You know, Wilson bumped back to that fourth line. You still have a very strong lineup with a fourth line that can, A, shut other teams down, and, B, put the puck in the back of the net. So either way, I think this team has done a phenomenal job. I don't necessarily expect them to pick up a forward at the deadline. I think they're going to go for defensive depth and find someone there.
I think the Mike Richards move was the trade deadline move. I don't see anything else happening besides that move. I think they're going to be very quiet at the trade deadline. You might see some minor league guys get shuffled around if needed, but I think the third line you keep the same. Johansson centering it, Wilson, Chimera. I mean, that makes sense. Did you see Wilson's goal in Nashville?
That was pretty.
Holy crap. This is what everybody's expecting from Wilson, you know, last season or a little bit more this season, because what a snipe that guy had. That was such a great goal, and I was like, who did that? Was that Willie? Willie's that was his goal? Holy crap. I had no idea.
He took advantage of the opportunity presented to him, and that's what we've always wanted to see from him.
Absolutely. That's what we've always wanted to see, and we finally are seeing it from him. So I wouldn't mess with that third line. When Beagle comes back, maybe you have him center it up with him and, I guess, Like. And Like is the odd man out here. We keep saying it. He's the guy you let go, especially with Richards.
Unless you don't sign anybody.
Right. Exactly.
I think he does play a valuable role both on the PK – It's the money that's the problem with Like. He just makes so damn much for a guy who's sitting on the fourth line. And he's great on the PK. And I think a fourth line of Richards, Beagle, and like, whatever the combination may be in terms of who's playing where, could be very good for the team, especially in a cup run, because if you're in a situation where you have to put someone out for a defensive zone faceoff in the third period with a minute to go and you're up by one, any one of those guys can play the center spot. So you can put Richards in there and then, oh, he gets kicked out. Well, we'll just put Beagle in there. Or you put Beagle in there, oh, he got kicked out. You put Like in there. Or whatever the combination may be. And they all got very good defensive-minded plays. I like what I've seen from Richards. I think he's definitely a guy that can help the team going forward. Like, if he just didn't make so much goddamn money.
That's the big
thing. He would be fine. But he makes so much goddamn money. And I think, part of me wouldn't be surprised if he gets traded. Not necessarily the deadline. I think he'd be more of a trade. It's possible, but I wouldn't be surprised if it was in the offseason. Or they just write out this contract and sign him to a new, much reduced one after the season. After next season. I wouldn't mind that if they can get there without putting themselves in too much of a financial situation problem with the cap. However, because I don't know who they have to sign. Hold on. Who's going to be a free agent after? Besides Johansson. They need money to re-sign Johansson because you know he's going to get a raise. Hang on. I'm going to general manager.
Well, like, my big thing is he's making so much money. You let that go. You still have Richards and Lotta on the fourth line. I mean, that could be a solid fourth line there, centered by Beagle. I think that would work
out. Like's an upgrade over Lotta.
What's that?
I know you may not agree with me, but Like is better. I think Like is an upgrade over Lotta.
Well, 100%. He likes playing-wise, yes, he is better. But
I know Lotta's your boy.
But price-wise, Lotta is cheaper, but you still get a good amount of play for the fourth line out of him.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, business-wise, that's how you got to look at it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what they do. But my guess at the deadline, we see we're going to see them pick up a defenseman. I don't really expect them to go out and acquire anyone for the forward rank. I think Mike Richards was their deadline acquisition.
Yeah, 100%.
I think if they hadn't signed Richards, they probably would have gone out and tried to trade for a back-end center. But I think Richards was that pickup. If they go out and they just acquire a quality veteran defenseman for depth, and that's all they do, I'm relatively happy. I think I'm fine with that. If they want to go out and acquire a fourth line winger that's going to play sometimes, and you give up a seventh round pick, okay, that's fine too. But if they just go out and acquire, and they don't give up a ton to bring in a defenseman, that's okay with me.
Oh, I don't know. We got the trade deadline coming up at the end of the month, so I'm intrigued to see what they do. I was a little worried this past week, especially in that Nashville game, of how sluggish they looked. You know, they didn't look good up against Florida last Tuesday, but we talked about that last week. They seem to have done all right for themselves in this past week, winning four games in a row. Hopefully they can still do that. They still got two more road games coming up this week, and then they're back home for a little bit. But they've got a hard road ahead of them, and hopefully everybody stays healthy. And, you know, there is talk. Let's talk about this a little bit. There's a good chance we see Orpik on the ice actually playing in one of the next two games.
Yeah.
So that's got to be that's got to be a huge coup for the team to have this guy back.
It would be helpful. It would be. Yeah, I think it's going to be great. I mean, you have a guy who's going to come in. So it makes your defensive depth even better because you have Chorney up in the press box or potentially Dmitry Orlov. So you have opportunities to have your depth. I mean, the depth was definitely tested this season, and they came out, I think, very well and dealt with that. And to see that they have all this depth and they're able to plug these guys in and they continue to play well, getting a guy like Orpik back for the stretch run, I mean, that's exactly what you want for this kind of team. You want a team to have everybody healthy going into the playoffs. And hopefully, knock on wood, that's the case.
That's what we hope for. So what else should we cover before we talk to Ming Chen?
Well, let's do a little update on the cap standings. They're currently 39-9-4, which is a ridiculous record. Good for 82 points. That puts them first in the National Hockey League. They are 17 points up on the second-place Rangers in the Metro, 12 up on second-place Panthers in the East, and they are 6 points up on second-place the Blackhawks for the league lead, even though the Capitals have played five less games.
Oh, my God.
That is ridiculous. Everyone is contributing. I mean, look at the Nashville game on a night where the first line was relatively quiet. I think their only point was Ovechkin's empty netter. They still got the win because everyone else stepped up. The second line stepped up with goals. The third line stepped up with goals from Chimera and Wilson. The fourth line stepped up and played well. Everyone's stepping up when you know another line is quiet. They're getting wins when they're not playing well, so that's amazing. And lastly, congratulations to Alex Ovechkin becoming the third player ever to score 30 goals in each of his first 11 seasons. He joins Hall of Famers Mike Gartner and this little-known player named Wayne Gretzky in the National – yeah, I don't know who that is – in National Hockey League history.
You miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
That's true.
Wayne Gretzky, Michael Scott. Everybody knows that.
Thank you.
Gretzky, I think he recently said, you know, there's no way of knowing how many times Ovi could do this, you know. I think he would have had 15 seasons with 30 goals. There's a good chance Ovi could do the same. I mean, he could even surpass Gretzky in having that many goals in each season.
Possible.
It's very possible. So, lots of fun stuff going on in Caps world. Caps are staying busy. We're having a great time watching them. I mean, the fact that, God, that few many losses, that is mind-boggling that we are...
Nine losses in the regular season.
We are in February.
A couple of years ago, right after one of the lockouts, I mean, that was the first week of the season they had nine losses.
Yeah, this is just...
So, it's nice to see it be in the other end of the winning and loss spectrum right now.
That's pretty much it for what's going on in Caps world. We're going to take a quick break and we will be back with our interview with Ming Chen from Comic Book Men. So stay tuned.
Hi, I'm Red Rocker Michelle and you're listening to What the Puck.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome back to What the Puck. Thank you for listening to us tonight. We have a very special guest with us on What the Puck, talking about the Capitals, but also talking about the Devils, a team that he actually does really enjoy. We don't as much. But he's one of the stars of the AMC show Comic Book Men. You may have seen him there in Dogma, maybe in a con around the country. Ming Chen, what's going on, man?
What's going on, guys? Will you guys promise me to do just one thing? Can you and your Capitals, can you just please beat the Rangers this year in the playoffs? That's all I ask. That's the only thing I ask.
We want a little bit more of that in the playoffs, but that is definitely on our bucket list of things to do this year.
All right, thank God.
I think we're, what, 2-for-4 or 2-for-5 right now in the last couple of years? So hopefully we'll have them this year.
It's maddening. Now, you know, New Jersey... had a great run in the playoffs. Now it's kind of off and on, more off than on these last few years. But if New Jersey can't be in it, then, you know, I'm going to root against anyone playing against the Rangers. And it's just been maddening the last few years. The Capitals, so much promise, so much firepower, so much, such a great team. And they just fold like a house of cards against the dreaded Rangers. I just, please, this year... That's all I want you guys to do.
Well, you know what? We really do feel like the Capitals have something special this year. It's not it feels so much different than the years in the past, and we really do have high hopes for the Capitals this year. So hopefully that dream can come true for you, Ming, but we really want that as well. So let's just dive right into it. Let's talk a little bit about your Devils here. Last night, Martin Brodeur had his jersey retired, his number retired. As a fan of the Devils, what was that like for you to see?
It was great. Now I'm a fairly recent fan. I started following maybe about 7 years ago, but working in the secret stash. If you've seen the show Comic Book Men, if you've been in the store, you see it's like a mini Devil's Hall of Fame inside the store. We literally have a shrine in there. We have the three banners hanging up on the rafters. We have Stanley Cups all over. And when you work with Walt Flanagan, it's not hard. It's hard not to be a Devils fan. If you watch Walt Flanagan on the show, he gets excited for three things in life. Comic books, his family, and the New Jersey Devils. So he's loved them since 1982, since their inception. I'm not a New Jersey native. I moved here in 2002. And I came in as a big baseball fan. But to see him excited about the Devils, like that excited, it was hard not to become a fan. And one day I went to a game with them, and I've been instantly hooked. So I came in later, but I got to see Marty play, and got to see all the a lot of the glory. Some made some amazing saves, and it's anytime anytime you see a jersey retirement, it's pretty emotional. But him, you know, one of the greatest of all time for sure, and he'll be in the Hall of Fame 2018, surefire Hall of Famer. So it was cool. I didn't get to see it live, unfortunately, but you know, that was a hot ticket. It was great. It's always the Hall. You can't get better than the Hall of Fame.
No, not at all. And so you said you kind of grew up a baseball fan, and I know you. I think it's on your Twitter account, Ming Chen 37, and it's also a part of Comic Book Man that you were actually a big fan of the Baltimore Orioles.
Huge.
What was it about the O's? Did you grow up around here, or did you just have an affinity for the team?
I spent 4 years near the Baltimore area. I lived in Silver Spring, Rockville, and Falls Church. And I think them as the underdogs, I just became a fan of, not necessarily their, they didn't have winning ways back when I was a fan, but I saw just a lot of heart. And I liked how the Orioles fans were kind of like the anti-New York Yankee fans. They're not obnoxious. They love their team. They all, you know, they follow their team through thick and thin, and you know, who doesn't love Camden Yards? So it was a combination of things. Plus, when I went to games by myself at Camden Yards, I could sneak right down behind the dugout. Nobody cared. So, you know, try doing that at Yankee Stadium.
Yeah,
try doing that at Citi Field. It ain't gonna happen. So
yeah, I think they're a little more secure there. I think it's a little more lax at Camden Yards nowadays, but. Yeah, you know, it was great. I mean, I kind of perked up in Comic Book Man when you said you were such a big O's fan. I was a little surprised about that. So that's really cool. So, Dan, you I know you wanted to jump in and talk a little bit about the Devils. So why don't you go ahead?
Well, I have a couple of friends that are Devils fans. I know for a while they were giving me a lot of grief because the Devils were looked at as one of the model franchises in the NHL, and that every team wanted their own Lou Lamoriello. They're winning cups or at least fighting for a cup. They're definitely in on the playoffs. But recently they've fallen on hard times. What do you attribute that to?
I mean, it's one word. It's very hard to pronounce. You know, it's not even in the English language. But Ilya Kovalchuk screwed us all. I mean, it's not much else to say. And I'll be mad about that until I die. My parents taught me. Listen, when you sign a piece of paper, when you say you're going to do something, you follow through with it. And to see him, quote unquote, retire so he could run off to Russia and make more money and chase Russian glory, and you know, kind of, and just the hoops they jumped through to re-sign him. He knew what he was doing. He knew what they were, the shambles that he was leaving this team in, and you know, obviously he didn't care. So not even Lou could save them from that. So although, you know, they're on the cusp of you know, if the season ended today, they'd be right on the edge of making the playoffs. But it's you know, they're not playing bad this season, but it's a shockwave that's going to affect them for a little while, and it stinks. As a fan, you really have I rooted for him. I had a Kovalchuk jersey. I loved the man while he was playing for the team, but you know, that's just it was a Bush League move, and as a sports fan, I'm a big fan of the team sports, and the team working together, and not, you know, not one person greater than the whole, and that just kind of crushed everything that I believed in as far as team sports go.
Yeah, that's very understandable. I know where you're coming from with that. It's about a team, and we are seeing that this year with the Capitals, that it's not just one guy. It is a whole team where we've kind of got all those missing pieces together. But like you said, the Devils are right on the cusp right now. They're actually tied in points with the Penguins at 61 points this season. And right now, if the playoffs were to happen, it would be Caps-Penguins first round for the Stanley Cup playoffs. But if the Devils were to leapfrog the Penguins, we could potentially see, if you know, not a lot changes, Caps Devils first round. How do you think that matchup would play out?
I would love to see that. Now, before last Saturday, I was like, okay, Washington definitely at an advantage. They're a huge powerhouse right now. But I saw a lot of I saw some good scrappy play when they played last Saturday, and you know, they couldn't hold the lead. I was praying for them to hold the lead, but in the back of my head, I knew they weren't going to hold the lead. And you know, once it went to the shootout, it was the percentages of the Devils pulling that one off went down. But I think they held pretty tough, so they can make it interesting. It's funny, you know, the regular season, the regular season. Once you come down to that, you know, that short 7-game series, like Billy Bean said in Moneyball, and you know, after that, the magic doesn't really work. It really could go any way. So I think seeing them matched up on Saturday, I think it could actually be a pretty challenging series. Don't underestimate New Jersey.
That's fair. Yeah, I was surprised when Lamoureux left the Devils for the Maple Leafs. What do you attribute his decision to leave them? Do you attribute it to the owner, the hiring of Ray Sherrow, or do you think he just wanted a new challenge after being in New Jersey for so long?
I think it's definitely a combination of all three. The owners were definitely just looking for a change. Lamoureux definitely got the track record, but I think even talking to Walt Flanagan, even talking to some of the fans, I think even they felt it was time for a change. That maybe you know it was time to move on somewhere else. And getting Toronto back into the playoffs and winning and not blowing a 4-goal lead in the third period, there aren't many challenges bigger than that. So, and by looking at the record here, Lou's got a long road to go right now. But if there's anyone who could pull that off, it's him.
Well, he just freed up all that cap space and trading Finneau, so he can get that Stamkos money coming up in this summer. But going sort of with the Devils in the playoffs right now, they're sort of right there pushing for a playoff spot, but we're not sure. And with the trading deadline coming up, do you expect them to be buyers or sellers?
Oh, man, that is a good question. I'm actually pretty surprised at how they've been playing, so I haven't really given that a huge amount of thought. If they could just add one piece, though, it may put, you know, all they have to do is push ahead a couple points. And, in the past, I think Lou would probably just pull out his magic. Don't have him anymore. So, God, that's a great question. But they're right there. So I expect them to pick up something that can definitely help them contribute. Who that is, I don't know. But this close.
Anyone in particular?
I don't, jeez.
That you would like to see?
That's a great question. Offensive-minded D-man would be great. Actually, looking at the roster, they're fairly decently balanced. A little more offense than the defense would actually be pretty good. Someone who could just fire pucks from the point and just get them in would be pretty amazing. They're right there. If they can. Again, Kovalchuk, you know, it's all salary, but I think they could probably pick up one, you know, even decent piece to just push them over the edge.
Now, let me ask you, I know the Devils recently, they did some special training sessions with a bunch of UFC fighters, you know, guys like CM Punk. the fighters came in and the Devils were saying they're training all like a new way to be lighter on their feet, on their skates. Have you seen an impact from that little training session?
I don't know if what is it? I guess that'll make you tougher. Does it help you score?
That's true, right.
Does it help you score? That's where I would like to see the improvement. I'm looking at the chart now. The Caps have a 50-goal lead over the Devils, 174 to 124. And they're pretty low-scoring team. I don't know if throwing punches and rear naked chokeholds will help you put the puck in the back of the net. But, at this point, why not? but have I noticed anything? No, not really. So,
gotcha. Well, let me ask you this: since during the lockout, Comic Book Man had a very special episode for Walt. You know, you talked about how big of a Devils fan Walt is, and he actually got to go and he got to work with some of the alumni of the Devils. As a friend of yours, what was that like for you to see him? You know, see all those guys and do this for Comic Book Man.
That was amazing, and actually I had a pretty big hand in putting that together. And I for a guy who, again, only loves three things, you know, pretty much loves three things, it was cool to see him light up like that. Walt's a strange guy. He doesn't really he's a guy who doesn't like anything, and yet we strive to impress him somehow. And that goes from anywhere from, you know, me and Mike and Brian on up to Kevin. And Kevin actually attributes the success of his career simply by trying to do things that will impress Walt Flanagan, which is really weird. So anytime, even, you know, we don't buy him birthday presents. We barely buy him Christmas presents in fear that he won't be he won't like him. So we really strive to impress him. So this is one of those things that that did make him smile. And I mean, you can see it if you watch the episode, that he is having a ball out there, shooting around with Ken Danico and you know, Stanley Cup champions, guys who you know, they were on the ice with their rings. So that was cool. And sports have been kind of a bonding thing between you know, me and him. While we've gone to games together, we used to have a hockey podcast like you guys called Puck Nuts, which people are still trying to get back. So it was cool as a friend and as a fan. It was definitely something very cool to see.
Yeah, and let me just tell you, you know, seeing Kevin Smith has been a huge influence on my career and everything I've done since Dogma. But when he started doing podcasts and stuff like that, I got really into it. And Puck Nuts, I listened to that back in the day. And that's one of the reasons why Dan and I started What the Puck, because we wanted to talk hockey so much. But sticking with comic book men here, what has been your favorite item to come in through the doors?
Ooh, that's a great question. One of my favorite items is any G.I. Joe fans out there, someone brought in the USS Flag aircraft carrier. Probably one of the biggest toys ever created. It's about 7 feet long. The detail on it is amazing. And back in the day, it was one of the first toys to come near the $100 mark. And I wanted that thing. I begged my mom for it.
How do you play with something like that? It takes up like half a room.
Yeah, I learned when I was a kid, I was like, okay, well, this is a rich kid's toy, so you need a rich kid budget, and a rich kid house. So neither of which I had. So 30 years later, I was able to buy it. Still don't have the rich kid house. So it actually remained in the basement of the store for a while. I wasn't even able to bring it home. I didn't have room for it, so it was actually up at the store for a while. You know, if you have that much space, it was built to scale to all the G.I. Joe figures and the vehicles. So you know, I've always been a big believer in you know, the bigger the toy, the more the fun. But you gotta get it through the door first.
That's true. And if you guys want to check out that episode, Ming's talking about a comic book man, it is on Netflix. I was watching it earlier today, and you guys were setting it up on the poker table. It's a cool time lapse thing where you see it kind of being brought to life. It was a really cool part of the show. Who's been your favorite guest or cameo of the show?
Definitely, it's got to be Stan Lee, the architect of the Marvel Universe, the architect of you know, most, if not all, of our favorite comic book characters. The guy who, had he not been born, or you know, created these characters, our lives would suck right now. I mean, it's not. there's no doubt about it. Just, you know, can you imagine a life without you know, the Avengers and the X-Men and Spider-Man? It would be pretty boring. And when we come back this Sunday, Stan actually comes back. So,
oh, wow.
He's definitely a good guy to have in your corner during a fight, or just for a conversation, or just for you know, for a quip or a joke. He's a pretty cool guy to have around. And for me, I'll get to tell my kids, my grandkids, and, you know, hopefully my great grandkids that I got to hang out with them.
Yeah, that, I mean, he's done it all, you know. He's the creator of so many great stories, so many great comics. I mean, just look at the movie industry right now. Think about what it might be like without Stan Lee. You can't do it. But Ming, before we let you go here, if people want to, you know, follow you on social media or anything, what are your accounts for that?
I'm on Twitter and Instagram at MingChen37. That's MingChen 37, and Facebook, just search MingChen Comic Book Men. And Mike and I from the show are all we have our own podcast at MingandMike.com.
Now, is Ming and Mike that show, is that going to be, are you guys going to do the Secret Stash podcast again, or are you going to stick to?
Yes, we are. Yeah, that we'll be starting that up again. The Secret Stash podcast is our kind of after show recap podcast that we do after every episode of Comic Book Man, where we go a little more in depth on what happened on the show.
Yeah, and I love listening to that one as well. And we got to talk face to face a little bit last September at Walker Stalker Con. I knew you were a big O's fan. I got you the big old Bay Cal Ripken can. But
yes, thank you so much.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
It's probably one of the coolest things I've ever gotten. I'm not even joking.
Well, you know what? I got to tell you, I saw it when it came out. I'm like, I know I'm going to Walker Stalker Con. I got to get this from Ming. He's a big O's fan. But when I was like, hey Ming, I got a gift for you, your face was like, really? Like, is this, like, I think you were a little worried it was a joke, but no, it all turned out okay. But if people want to see you at a con, do you have any coming up you want to promote?
I do. You can go to mingandmike.com. There's an appearance calendar out there, but I'll actually be in York, Pennsylvania, beginning of March. I know that's kind of like O's North, I guess.
Mm-hmm. There's a couple O's billboards up there.
There's that whole enclave of O's fans up in York, Pennsylvania, of all places. I'll be in Lexington, Kentucky, and I'll be in Detroit, Michigan, too, Motor City Comic Con. I'm fixing to be somewhere every weekend, and if not, hopefully I'll come down and be at an Orioles game, or one day I will go to the Verizon Center with you guys.
Well, you know what? If it is Capitals Devils in the Stanley Cup, that is an open invitation. We got your back. We got your ticket. You know, you are going to be a guest of What the Puck if that happens.
Oh, I love it. Thank you.
I don't know. I got a bad record in going to playoff games, so I don't know if I can join you in on that and screw my own team over.
All right, Dan. So you go hang out at the Green Turtle or at Hooters down
there
the street.
There we go. I'll do that.
Yeah. All right. So
I got one more question.
All right, go ahead.
Ask away.
Will the Devils make the playoffs, yes or no?
I think they will. They're going to be right on the edge, but I do think they're going to make it. I think somebody's going to crumble. I'm hoping it's the Rangers, but if not, I'm going to say the Islanders may take a dive too, just because they're the Islanders. No real concrete reason, but yeah, one of these teams are going to crumble in the next half of the season. So it always happens. So hopefully it's not New Jersey, but. But I think they'll slip into that A place spot. So we'll see you in the playoffs, boys.
All right. So everybody out there, check it out. Comic Book Men returns to AMC this Sunday, Valentine's Day, February 14th, after The Walking and Talking Dead. Ming Chen, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, guys.
What the Puck? What the Puck? He's a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
This is Barry Trotz. You're listening to What the Puck.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Big thank you to Ming Chen. Make sure you check out his TV show on AMC right after The Walking and Talking Dead this Sunday, February 14th at midnight. Comic Book Man comes back. I love watching Comic Book Men after Walking Dead and Talking Dead, because like those, at least Walking Dead is like so stressful that it's so good to watch one of those shows and kind of have like a good mood before you go to bed. It's really awesome. Thank you so much to Ming Chen, but we are going to go down on the farm. We are talking Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays. I got to go to the Hershey Bears last Sunday. It was awesome. Coach Dan, fill everybody else in on what happened down on the farm.
Well, let's see. In the past week, not only did Hershey change up their website, but they went 3-0 with an away win over Binghamton and home wins over Lehigh Valley and a Brandon witnessed win over Binghamton.
Yeah.
The Bears are currently 27-13-9, good for 63 points, which puts them one back of first place Wilkes-Barre Scranton. Though the Bears have played two more games, so they got to hopefully have Wilkes-Barre Scranton going a little bit of a losing streak. The Bears keep going on a winning streak, and everything will be fine there. The Bears are back at it as we speak against Bridgeport, then have back-to-back away games on Friday and Saturday against Providence and Springfield. Down in South Carolina, the Stingrays went 3-0 with wins over Brampton, Florida, and Missouri.
Missouri.
Stingrays are currently third in the South Division with a record of 25-16-5, good for 55 points. One back of second place Atlanta and eight back of first place Florida. They're crawling their way towards first place in the South Division. The Stingrays are playing as we speak in Tulsa and then are back at it with two away games on Friday and Saturday, with both games in Wichita and a home game on Tuesday against Greenville. That's what's going on down on the farm.
Yeah, the way you said Missouri, though, it made me think of that How I Met Your Mother episode where Ted and Barney pretend to be out-of-towners, And Ted finally comes clean because he doesn't want to go to New Jersey and talks about how like terrible it is. And then Barney just
goes, I do remember that.
Barney just goes, "You're not from Missouri?" And then he tries to put his arms around the girls, and the girls are having none of it. Man, that show was so good till the finale. All right.
That's true.
We got to bring up, though, for the Hershey Bears, we have to say congratulations, Jacob Verana. He was the player of the week for the AHL. And this week's CCM Hockey AHL Player of the Week. That's pretty awesome. Good for him. So let me tell you about this game, all right? I went on Sunday, Super Bowl Sunday. It was Hershey Park past night. It was a ton of fun. It was 2 seconds into the game. Two whole seconds. 1958, stoppage of play.
How many seconds?
2 seconds.
Two, not three, not one, but two.
As the game started, Liam O'Brien and somebody from the Senators got into a fight. 2 seconds
they
into the game.
They played each other the night before. No, they didn't play each other. Oh, they played a couple of days prior, so they prior like
there was something.
Son of a, I remember you.
Yeah, there was something going on there where they were not happy. So the Bears won 6-1 against the Senators on Sunday.
Whooping.
It was bad. At one point, I don't know who was coaching the Senators team. At one point, they had three guys in the penalty box for too many men on the ice.
That's like the Caps the other night.
It was they were playing 5-on-3 for 5.5 minutes. I know I only saw one Hershey Bears game. I was so impressed with the talent that's down in Hershey. They need experience up in the NHL before they can really do anything. Jacob Verana, Riley Barber, both of them absolutely stuck out in my mind. They had a great game on Sunday. I'm very excited to see what they can do. Nathan Walker, our Australian, first Australian.
Oh, did you find me the snow globe?
I did not find you the snow globe. He found a goal, though, yeah. Which was cool. Oh. But Verana, Barber, I cannot wait to see what these guys can do on an NHL level. Maybe in the next 2 years, maybe 3 years. But they looked awesome this past Sunday. Best part about Hershey, though, the Booster Club. I got a Madison Bowie signed puck for $7.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, but they had Verana. They had Barber. I wanted to buy them
all.
Did
you get to pick it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. You got to pick. They had Barber. They had Verana. They had Connor Carrick. They had Paul Carey, who got a goal the night
goal,
before.
The game winner.
Yeah, game winner, I think.
The Caps.
Chandler Stevenson had some pucks there. I mean, and everybody. The coolest thing, too, is they had Justin Peters sign it. But they took.
relax.
They took the end of a hockey stick, and then put a bottle opener on the end of it and had him sign it. So it was a bottle opener used from a hockey stick. It was pretty cool.
Oh.
But
that's clever.
I kind of want to go up to Hershey again. It was a lot of fun. Hershey Bears. I had no idea Hershey Bear fans were so. So brutal. I mean, applauding the other team's goalie for making stops. And at one point, one of the refs.
Oh, well, that's just funny.
One of the refs got tripped by one of the Hershey Bears player, not on purpose, by mistake, like as he was just running by and they you know, hit.
Well, they probably had it coming.
They hit skates and the ref fell on the ground. The entire place started cheering and laughing at the ref.
That's not nice.
No, they were freaking brutal in Chocolate Town. But, again, I love seeing games in Giant Center. It is a ton of fun, and it doesn't kill your bank account. And I would definitely go up to a Hershey Bears game again. It was a lot of fun. So, I'll leave it at that. Go Bears. Go Stingrays. Now let's go around the NHL. All right, here we go. We are going to go around the NHL. Plenty of stuff is happening. Coach Dan, tell us what's going on around the NHL.
Let's start in New York where the NHL website still sucks. Somebody fix it. It's a piece of crap. Let's act in actual news. As we talked about with Ming Chen, the Devils retired Martin Brodeur's number 30 in an event lasting 4 days. Brodeur spent 14 years with the Devils, winning 3 Stanley Cups in 1995, 2000, and 2003. In a blockbuster trade, the Maple Leafs sent captain, all-star defenseman, and Alicia Cuthbert's husband, Dion Phaneuf, to the Senators, which I thought was pretty crazy, along with forwards Matt Fratton, Casey Bailey, and Ryan Rupert, and defenseman Cody Donaghy, for defenseman Jared Cowan, and forwards Milan Mihalik, Colin Greening, and Tobias Lindberg, along with Ottawa's second round pick in the 2017 NHL draft. Toronto, freeing up some money for Steven Stamkos. There's another name you can take off the trading list as the Jets signed star defenseman Dustin Byfuglien to a 5-year extension worth a reported cap hit of $7.6 million a season. He got paid! And now we don't have to hear about him coming to the Caps anymore, which is good because that was getting annoying. And finally, let's stay in the peg as forward Drew Stafford was suspended for one game for high-sticking the Avalanche's Nick Holden. That's not nice, Stafford, and you get to sit out. That's the news for the past week in the NHL.
All right, plenty of stuff going on around the league. The Caps are staying busy. If you want to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can tweet to either one of us. Tweet to me at Brando Cash. Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. You can find some of my old writings and hopefully one day some of my new writings at CapitalsOutsider.com. This is a Caps fan-run website devoted to the Washington Capitals and their bobbleheads, of which Brandon, last week I asked you about getting a new bobblehead since you're going to the Bears game. Did you get one?
I didn't even see a bobblehead up there, man.
You saw no bobblehead? You know what I did see? I was in New York this past weekend. I went to the NBA store. They have a giant LeBron James bobblehead.
Good Lord. Like life-size?
No, stop. That would be crazy.
Have you ever seen Conan O'Brien's bobblehead? It's like 30 feet high.
No, and that sounds really scary. the NBA store, I think it was LeBron. I don't know if there had any I think they did have some bobbleheads at the NHL store in New York. But that's CapitalsOutsider.com. Brandon, what about Brando Cash Entertainment?
That's right. Go to BrandoCash.com. Get all the information you're ever going to need about Brando Cash Entertainment. Go to Facebook.com/BrandoCash as well as Facebook.com/WTP Podcast. We are also on Twitter at WTP_podcast. So if you want to connect with the show, know when a new show comes out, who knows what kind of special guests we're going to have stop by next. You'll be the first to know if you sign up for those social media accounts. Like us, follow us, do all that good stuff. Guys, we do this show for free. You listen, you stream, and you download on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, and Overcast, all for free. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about What the Puck. Be proud of being a Caps fan. Let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit and Snapchat, anywhere you are social on the web, on your mobile device, whatever, say, I'm a Caps fan, I listen to What the Puck, and you should. So let's go over the games coming up until we talk again. This Thursday, February 11th, the Capitals are in Minnesota, don't you know?
A little cold.
Going up against the Wild, eh? Don't go to Fargo, North Dakota. That game is at 8 o'clock, and that is on Comcast Sportsnet Plus. Don't forget that Plus locally here in the Baltimore, D.C. area. Then on Saturday, February 13th, the Capitals are in Dallas up against the Stars. That game is at 8 o'clock, Comcast Sportsnet. Then the Caps come home for one game. Tuesday, February 16th, the Capitals are up against the Kings coming in from L.A. That game is at 7 o'clock, Comcast Sportsnet locally here in Baltimore, D.C. So that is pretty much it for the show this week. Once again, thank you so much to Ming Chen for calling in and talking to us about the Caps and the Devils. Check him out. He's on Twitter, MingChen37. Check him out on Comic Book Men this Sunday after The Walking and Talking Dead on AMC at midnight. Don't forget to do all that. Big thank you to him. Listen to his podcast over on Smodcast.com and MingandMike.com. This has been a great show, guys. It's been a lot of fun. Until we talk again, everybody, say it loud. Say it proud. Let's go, Caps.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jax. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.
What did I forget?
Caps Islanders, Caps Devils, Caps Flyers, Caps Predators.
I did see. Williams' goal.
That's not right. They were up against Nashville. Wait, no. Right. Nashville is the Predators. I'm dumb. Never mind.
A little bit.
This Thursday, February 14th.